Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we certainly appreciate the opportunity to come this way each and every week at this same time and bring another radio broadcast. And for the past several weeks now, we have been looking at something just a little bit different than what we normally deal with. We are in the middle of a study entitled Your Liberty, Your Health, and the Bible. And we're going to get right back into that in just a moment. I want to say hello to Noah. He's here with us today, and I appreciate him and all the work he does to help in the radio ministry. Have you had a good day so far, Noah?
I have. It's been busy but good.
That's good.
Yes, it is. And we do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota. We do appreciate all our listeners that we have here.
And it's good to hear from our listeners from time to time. I was somewhere last week and in a church, and somebody told me, said, "I listen to you on the radio and enjoy it." No, I was over in Newland in a restaurant. And there's a gentleman over there, and he said, "Keep up the good radio work." So you just never know who's listening and where they're listening from. So we appreciate, as we always say, all of our listeners. But we've been talking about your health. And what we've said every week, and if you think about this, it makes sense. If you lose your health, you lose your liberty. Not like a police state or living under communism, but you lose your freedom to go and do as you please. You lose the ability to do what you want to, when you want to. And, of course, we realize that anybody, myself, Noah, he's a young man, anybody listening in, you know, before the sun goes down today, any of us could be in an accident, we could be disabled, we could come down with a disease or affliction of some kind. So these are things that are, many things are just out of our control. But what we are talking about is just simply being a good steward over the health that we have, taking care of ourselves, that we might live a quality life, that we might have mobility as long as possible in our life. So there's a lot of things that goes into that. You can be a good steward of your health. If you lose your health, you will lose your liberty, the ability to go and do as you please, and you become a slave to that affliction. And there's a great many that have afflictions in their life, sickness in their life, and maybe just by changing some things that they could do a lot better, or even get a lot better, or a lot of people get totally better of some of the things they have going on in their lives. So we're going to continue on talking about that today. We have mentioned several things. Last week we talked about, and we've talked about all the different diets in the Bible. We're not going to go over that again. We've already spent more time than I meant to talking about the different diets, but we talked about the pre-flood diet, the diet that people had before the flood. Adam and Eve, they were vegetarians. They did not eat meat. Meat is not introduced to the human diet until after the flood. Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. And God told Noah when he got off the ark that they could have to eat everything that they had before, with the addition of meat minus blood. We talked about the diet under the law, the Mosaic law. It changed from being every creature to only those that were clean. And there's a clean versus an unclean. You know, beef is clean, pork is unclean under the dietary law. Shrimp is unclean, other fish is clean. And so we're not an expert on that. I'd have to read over there in Leviticus to pick out some, but there's the Levitical diet. And then there's the diet in the dispensation of grace. God told Peter in Acts chapter number 10, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And we talked about that as well, that in the dispensation of grace, we are allowed to eat with moderation. Then we talked about last week the Babylonian diet, Jeremiah 52, verse 34, the only place the word diet, D-I-E-T, is mentioned in the Bible, is in this verse, and it's mentioned two times. And it says, "And for his diet there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon every day, a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life." And we talked about Babylon in the Bible and what it represents. And it represents a kingdom of evil. It represents a tyrannical government. Babylon does. We said about the Babylonian diet that it was a government diet. It was of the king of Babylon. It was a godless diet. It's the same diet that Daniel rejected when he refused. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat." It was a guided diet. It was continual. It was the same portion. The verse of Scripture there in Jeremiah chapter number 52 that it's talking about, this king had a continual portion all the days of his life until he died. And so this diet in the Bible is associated not with living, but with dying. And we said last week that just because something is government approved does not mean that it is good for you. There are many things that are allowed, FDA approved, that are in our food, that are sold to all of us, but yet they are bad for your health. You look at the ingredients of most of your food out here. It contains a substitute for sugar called high fructose corn syrup, and it is terrible for your health. And I've noticed just recently that Pepsi has advertising that's saying it's back, Pepsi with real sugar in it. Well, what have you been drinking all this time? What else was it? Well, high fructose corn syrup. People are finding out how bad this is for you. So this is not a government instituted change. This is a market driven change. Even people realize in their sodas that there's something that's bad for them. So now they're coming back with Pepsi with sugar. And then even along the same lines, people will go out of their way to buy Coca-Cola that's made in Mexico because it has real sugar in it versus Coca-Cola made in America that has high fructose corn syrup in it. So people realize that just because it is allowed, just because it is approved, does not mean that it is good for you. There's a huge difference between that. Now, I am not prescribing diets. I think one of the worst things a person can do for their overall health, and we're talking about over an extended period of time, is to try to go on a diet. But people do this all the time. And when you go on a diet, you're basically setting yourself up for failure. There are very few diets that you can go on that you could stay on. And a lot of people go on a diet for a little while, they lose weight, and then they go off the diet, they go right back where they were and worse. They get heavier, they are end up in worse shape after the diet than actually they were before the diet. It is very hard, it is impractical to live your whole life on a diet. Most diets end in failure. You end up bigger, sicker afterward than you were before. Now, what I want to look at today, common sense advice with a biblical model of not a diet, but just how we eat, our eating habits, what we eat. What does the Bible say? And I was thinking about this before the broadcast today. Common sense and Bible sense, to me, is the same thing. I've never found anything in the Bible, the practical instruction, the principles in the Bible that just didn't line up with good old common sense. Some things just make sense. And so the Bible just makes sense. It's just common sense. Now, first, I'm going to give you some verses before we start. The Bible does have a great deal to say about eating habits. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now, how would that change our lives if we made up our mind, you know, everything I do, even eating and drinking, I'm going to do that to the glory of God? That would change the way you lived your life. And so we're to do that. This is not saying a person cannot have a piece of pie. I had a piece of pie last night. It was pretty good. But, you know, I didn't eat the whole pie, although I was tempted to. It was real good. My wife made a great strawberry pie, and we haven't had one this year. So we're not saying that, but we're talking about doing everything that we do to the glory of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul said this, talking about the Christian life. He said, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." The Bible teaches us to live a life of moderation. Moderation. Moderation means self-control. We've got to have some self-control in our lives. Yes, the Lord will help us. Yes, we believe completely in the grace of God. But God has given us something called a will. We have a free will. We have willpower. And so moderation brings that into play. We have some things in our life that are moderated, that are governed. And eating comes under that heading. Proverbs chapter 23, and the book of Proverbs says a lot about our appetites, about eating. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this, "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite." Can you imagine sitting down to eat and somebody picks up their steak knife and they hold it up to their throat and they're saying, I have no control. Well, that's what the Bible is giving the picture of there. Put a knife to your throat, man. If you can't control yourself, consider diligently what is before thee. And so moderation, doing things for the glory of God. Let me just quickly give some things. Common sense advice, a biblical model, would be this. Number one, eat food. That's number one, eat food. What do we mean by that when we say eat food? That Lester Roloff put it like this years ago. He said, "Stay out of the middle aisles of the grocery store. If you stay around the outside perimeter, you're going to be a whole lot better off than getting in the middle and buying up a bunch of food that's really not even food." And what do you find around the outside aisles of the grocery stores? You have produce, you have meat, you have eggs, you have milk, you have cheese, you have things like that. That all has life or came from life. It is real food. It is recognizable. There's a pineapple, there's lettuce, there's a gallon of milk, there is chicken, things like this, yogurt, cheese. All this stuff comes from what we recognize as food. Now, you get into the middle aisles of the grocery store and do all your shopping there, and you just think about it. How many things do we eat that really are not recognizable as food? Most of your candies and sodas, cereals, sweets, pastries, ramen noodles, all these things. There's a lot of things that aren't even recognizable as food. They are not good for you. So if you stay around the outside perimeter, you'll find that's where the real food is. Now, I brought a little example just to illustrate what I'm talking about. I'm going to give you some ingredients here, and you tell me what we're talking about. And this is off the box that the product came in. It is enriched flour, wheat flour, niacin, reduced iron, vitamin B1, thiamine, mononitrate, vitamin B2, riboflavin, folic acid, sugar, dextrose, soybean and palm oil with TBHQ for freshness, high fructose corn syrup, cocoa processed with alkali, cracker meal corn syrup, and whey, salt, modified cornstarch, leavening, sodium, acid, triphosphate, baking soda, calcium carbonate, egg whites, caramel color, color added, mono and diglycerides, palm oil, cornstarch, sodium stearol, lactate, gelatin, natural and artificial flavor, soy lysine, vitamin A, palmitate, niacinamide, reduced iron, vitamin B6, pyridoxine, hydrochloride. And my goodness, doesn't that sound good? I mean, that, according to the advertisement, is part of a crazy good breakfast. And it says on the box that it is a good source of 7 vitamins. Well, man, if it's got 7 vitamins in it, it's got to be good. Well, you say, what is that? That's Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts is what that is. And you look on any box and what you are actually eating, and if you can't pronounce most of it, you got to ask yourself the question, or if you don't even know what it is, can it be good for you? It might be edible. It might taste good. But here, if you want to change your life and change your health, number one, eat food. Number two, we're going to move along. We're going to say this, eat fresh. Now, I hope I don't get in trouble with Subway for saying that, but, you know, that's what they say. That's part of their advertisement, but I'm sure that they're not the first people to just say eat fresh. What we mean by that is anything that you eat that is prepackaged, that is preserved to last for a long time, that has been processed, that has been refined, that has been changed in a major way, that is probably not going to be good for you. Now, my dad used to drive a truck, and he hauled produce. And I know I've heard him say many times about if you deliver to a restaurant and you find a package of lettuce that has a sell-by or a best-by date that is 2 months away, a month away, we all know common sense tells us lettuce does not last that long, especially when it's been shredded and just ready to put in a salad or on a burger or something like that. And so when things are lasting longer than we know that they naturally would, well, we need to ask ourselves the question, what is on that that's keeping lettuce from turning brown, that's keeping, you know, crackers for, you can eat something that's got 2 years on it. It's got a lot of preservatives in it. It's got things in it that are not good for you. Now, if something is not good for you, you know, do you know what? That's the same as being bad for you. But you think about how much we put into our bodies and we think nothing about it. So eat food, eat fresh, eat farm. Now, we live in a day of, there's all kinds of diets that are out there. You turn on the TV, you look through a newspaper, magazines, and they're promoting, you know, buying your food prepackaged, pre-labeled, ready to eat, all this kind of stuff. There's no sense in that. And that cannot be good for you to buy things that are just like pre-made TV dinners for a month and things like that. But you've got all these diets, all these labels out here, Atkins and low carb and South Beach and grapefruit diets and lemon juice fasting and all the, I mean, there's paleo and gluten-free and, you know, every 6 months, every year, there'll be some new fad, some new phase that comes along. Well, what if we had a farm diet? Can it be raised? Can it be grown locally? Can you buy it at the farmer's market? You know, most towns, our town has a farmer's market. You can go and get some fresh food right off of a farm. And anything that you can get outside of the Babylonian system, the pre-packaged, stamped, FDA-approved things you can get outside of that system are going to be better for you. I read an article. I didn't bring it with me, but it's very interesting. It was about the Amish people, and it was talking about why the Amish don't get sick, talking about most people know when we're talking about the Amish, we're talking about the farmers, and, you know, they've separated themselves. They do not live like most Americans do. They live like Americans lived in the early 1900s. They farm, they raise their food, they can their food, they put it up, they work outside, all of these things. But this article was talking about why the Amish don't get sick. And I read that article. It had a lot of good points in it, but here's what it boils down to. They live on a farm. They work outside. They eat fresh food. They eat their own food. And they do not have diets of junk food. Now, I went to Alaska a few years ago and on a mission trip. And on that mission trip, I was told, you know, before we go there, you're probably going to be offered whale, you know, in some form or another. This was an Eskimo village, and it was still known for their whaling expeditions. You know, they go out on the sea there, and they would bring whales in, and, you know, it's a very rural experience. Well, we get to Alaska, we fly north of the Arctic Circle, we land in the little village in an airplane, go right into the village there. It was just a great, great experience. Now, the Eskimo people have a very high rate of diabetes and obesity among them. They have a lot of health problems. Now, here's what I learned. They hadn't caught a whale in years going out. All of their food was flown into them, and I went into the local store there, and they had so much candy and soft drinks, and everywhere you went, the kids, they were eating candy and drinking soft drinks. That was their diet. You'd think in a rural setting that you'd have you'd have something different, but they didn't. They were living off of soft drinks and candy and stuff like that, and they have all kinds of health problems. And so it just eat farm, eat what can be raised. Anything you can get outside the Babylonian system is far better than what you buy prepackaged in a store. And going back to the Amish, I went from the Eskimos to the Amish there, but there's just a vast difference between the two. And the Amish live like our grandparents used to live 50 years ago. I also want to say this, eat finicky. And you remember years ago, the old Life commercial, and they trying to pass the cereal around, and they said, get Mikey to eat it. He's picky. He won't eat anything. And then he started eating, and they said, he likes it. So everybody else. But old Mikey, he was a finicky eater. He was a picky eater. And that word finicky there doesn't so much mean picky. It means with care, with forethought and precision. Be finicky about what you put into your body. Now, there's been a lot of in the news lately. And no, you may have heard about this. There's a minor league baseball team down in Wilmington, and they are promoting this upcoming season. They have made a deal with Krispy Kreme, a local Krispy Kreme. So what it is, it's a Krispy Kreme donut that's shaped like a hot dog bun. It's a Krispy Kreme donut, hot dog bun, with a hot dog in it, covered with bacon. And it's been in the news, and Krispy Kreme has said, you know, we're not doing this. It's being just locally produced down in Wilmington, and this minor league baseball team, that's what they're really promoting. So, wow, you can go to the ballpark, you can get a hot dog bun that's made out of a Krispy Kreme donut with a hot dog in it, loaded with bacon. I forget what it was. it was called. They were trying to come up with names of it. But, you know, just because it's there doesn't mean that it's good. You know, be finicky. And, you know, that's excessive. And anybody ought to know, man, that's not good for you. So be finicky. I mean, we just put everything in our bodies coming and going. But here is the number one reason why people would be against what I am preaching to you, what I am telling you, that it would be to our benefit. It would help us in our health if we would follow these common sense guidelines. The number one objection that I get, that I hear, is this: I cannot afford to eat healthy. That's what most everybody says to begin with. I just can't afford to be healthy. My goodness, you can go down to the big super grocery store and you can get this stuff cheap. And boy, that's the truth. But what are you getting when you get this cheap stuff to put in your body? Here's what you really can't afford. You and I cannot afford to be sick. You cannot afford to be sick. We say, oh, I can't afford to eat healthy. No, you can't afford to be sick. And I'm not the first person to say that. I heard Brother Lester Roloff say that years ago. You cannot afford to be sick. Go to the doctor and then go to the pharmacy and see what people are spending every month after their insurance pays a little bit. You know, after the 80-20 or whatever it is, you and I, we cannot afford, and we're living in a society where it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. Our health care cost, although we don't have any, just insurance, has gone up drastically in the past several years. We cannot afford to be sick. We cannot afford to be on medicine ongoing, if we don't have to be. But most people will spare no expense to feed our flesh. Look how much we spend on cable television and internet and cell phones and smartphones and entertainment and all these things, but we're very stingy when it comes to what we put into our bodies. I want to read some verses. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 23, the Bible said this. It says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds." Of course, most of us do not have any flocks or herds. But he said in verse 24, "For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation." Most people are totally dependent on verse 24, that their riches will at least remain the same. And if our riches remain the same, we'll do the same things, buy the same things, go to the same places to eat and all like that. But verse 25 said, "The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goats' milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens," the Bible says. So most people are dependent upon the economy and know nothing of raising or growing their own food, or at least getting something outside of the normal system. Well, our time has quickly come and gone today. We're just about to run out of time, but we appreciate your good attention. We hope you've gotten something out of it that'll be a blessing and a help to you. And we're going to continue on with this study, Lord willing, in the weeks to come. We hope you have a great day and that the Lord would be with you and bless you and keep you. God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596, or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.